every struggle, Lord, we give to you. Every weight, everything that would try to weigh down our minds and our hearts, Lord, we just have that opportunity. Amen. In the midweek service, Lord, we just give that to you. And we exalt you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. What I love about that is when we're, even when Gina's singing and doing that, a time to pray in the Spirit. Amen.
Amen. So good.
Amen. Anything. You have anything, Mom?
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. I thank you. Father, I just feel like I want to thank you today in this very hour for being able to speak in tongues, to be able to flow like a river, Father. I thank you for that. Whether there's an interpretation, I don't know, Father. I don't understand. But I know you use the foolish things to confound the wise sometime. And I thank you right now that I could flow like a river and be free and speak in tongues. Thank you, Chad.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. Amen, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you for times of refreshing. Lord, we thank you for times of refreshing in your church. Thank you, Jesus, for times of refreshing. Thank you for an appointed time. Amen. Thank you for an appointed time. His moving in our hearts or in a community or in a nation, he's never early, he's never late. It's his timing is perfect. And so, Lord, with that, we praise you and we exalt you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me just say this. I had read this book from this gentleman, but it was called Isaac is Coming. You've heard me mention it, but I read the book, and I'd mentioned it to you before, but I was just kind of seeing excerpts from it, and from R.T. Kendall. And so what I thought was so powerful, and it just bore witness with me, you've heard me say this, I just want to say it again. He says there's been a divorce in the church. He's what he calls it, an unspoken divorce. And he says on one side we have people that are word-based, and they preach the word, and they said we're never going to have a move of God until we get back to the, you know, to a foundation of the word and a preaching of the word. And that's not a false statement, is it? No, that's a true statement. But he said on the other side of the campus, we have those that, you know, the spiritual part, the moving in the Spirit and the things, the spiritual gifts and things of the Spirit, and that side of the camp saying, hey, we're never going to have a move of God until we have a moving of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of the Holy Spirit and in power, in gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's a true statement. But like I said before, he said this next move of God's doing is he's bringing those two worlds together. Because it wasn't just Jesus, by the way, it wasn't just Jesus' miracles that wow people. It was the power of his preaching. Remember when the Pharisees said, hey, go arrest Jesus. And they came back and said, where is he? And they said, we never heard anybody speak like that. So there's that part of a power, the preaching of the word of God, the gospel, amen? And then the signs and wonders, the signs and wonders, and the power of the Holy Spirit as well, amen? How about you? I want to operate in both of those. I want to know his word, a revelation of his word, and then walking in the gifts of the Spirit, what he's given to me, what he's given to you to make a more perfect church. Isn't that true, saints? Amen? And so he says this next move of God, he's an 88-year-old guy, and he says it's going to be so powerful. So he's not one that does a lot of prophesying, so he doesn't have a new word every week, so to speak. But very powerful in the Word, written many books. He says this next move of God will, he says, it will be something like the second chapter of Acts, the outpouring. He said there won't be no doubt. It won't be no doubt that God is moving. He says you can't hurry it along and you can't stop it. He said it is coming. And he's 88 years old. He says, I hope I'm alive to see it. Isn't that exciting? Let's just be truthful. The church needs a move of God. Amen. The world needs a move of God, but we can't bring it on our own. But all we can be have a heart that's postured and said, Lord, we're ready. We don't want to miss out. We want to be a part of it, of what God's doing there. Amen. Isn't that awesome? In this John session, John chapter 8, session 84, I'm just going to get right into a few things. I'm going to go back to verse 30 where this kind of all started, and I just want to bring out a few things. In verse 30 of John chapter 8 in the New American Standard Version I have, it says, and he said these things. As he said these things, many came to believe in him. And I'm just going to bring some things because this is an astonishing chapter. It's an astonishing chapter. You say, well, what's wrong with what, you know, that sounds amazing. Many people came to believe in him. And then 31, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. Amen. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So as we go through this, they go from they believed him to as he began to lay out truth, they said, wait a second. We believed in you until you said we shall know the truth, but the truth will set us free. But hey, didn't you not know that we're children of Abraham? Amen. And one thing I want to make sure as a believer, as a disciple of Christ, as a son of God, is I certainly don't want to have an attitude of, hey, I've arrived. Amen. That there's always more he wants to reveal to you and I. There's always more that he wants to teach us. There's always more that he wants to show us. So let's make sure I don't get busy in the cares of life, and there is those things that keep us busy, that I have this attitude that, you know, I'm a child of Abraham. I've kind of got it all figured out. Amen. Have you ever been there a little bit? It's kind of like the teenager. Have you ever had, you remember having teenagers? They had it figured out, amen? And I have some 20-something-year-olds, and I'm sorry, but they too are like, yeah, got it figured out. And so I remember those times. I don't want to be an adolescent in the things of God. I don't want to have an attitude of, I've got it figured out, amen? I want to say, Lord, I don't want that know-it-all attitude, because we're going to see here that they go from, we believe you, to, wait a second. You know, it's like the person that we can see, and it came down to offense, right? So being offended is, somebody could come to Jesus Christ. They can say a prayer. I've seen this before, and then all of a sudden, some of the truths, this is what happened right here, some of the truths of the gospel, after they said a prayer, they started learning some of the truths of the gospel. They said, wait a second. You're telling me there's a heaven and hell? And you're telling me there's going to be people that are going to be going to heaven, and there's going to be people that are going to go to hell, and they may not be able to swallow that truth. Let me tell you, they may not be able to swallow that truth. And they said, you know what, I'm not willing to go any further. You know, I don't want to be a person, as I'm moving in God, as he reveals truth, man, I want to say, Lord, bring it all on. Bring me more and more and more. Of course, we know there's a hell to shun, in a heaven that we look forward to. And as we'll see right here as we move on, they believed in him for a short amount of time as he began to teach. Let me ask you, are you continuing in his word? Amen. Let me just ask you this question. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you? I think of things that where I think about continuing in his word, I can get rushed and not really can have days where I just get rushed and I don't think about continuing in his word. Have you ever been there? I mean, that's okay. The Lord loves us. Amen. You ever had those challenges? Or how about this not allowing the Holy Spirit to minister me? I've been at times where I've been in a struggle where I've had weeks where I didn't have the peace of the Spirit, his joy there. And then all of a sudden it'll just kind of pile on me. And then I'll say, Lord, I'm going to take some time. I'm going to get in your word. I'm going to get in your presence, and I'm going to allow you to unburden me. Amen. Continuing in his word. It's always continuing in his word. So he says in verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Did you know the gospel sets you free, right? So it's not just a prayer. It said, Jesus, you know, come into my heart. I'm going to add you to my life here. And then people will learn some truths about the gospel, and they'll say, wait a second. I'm offended at that. I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if I want to continue in the truth. And that's exactly where this group is. You know, I'm looking forward to people because of things that we see in society and the pressures and the things that the enemy have done to people. I'm thankful there's a group of people, and they're coming to as well, that have experienced with the devastation of the enemy, that are going to push through. What it is, it's the swallowing the lies of the enemy that we're going to look at here, and finally coming to end of that and say, you know what, I'm going to push through into the things of God. I'm going to push through into his word. Thank you, Lord, for showing me the truth of the word. I'm going to push through and allow his spirit to minister to me and allow his spirit to use me for his glory. Amen and amen. Are you continuing in his word? Are you allowing the spirit to minister to you? Amen. You know, even coming here tonight and just, you know, just the day, we had an amazing Youth Alive. We had 55 kids there. You know, 55 kids there. And what, you know, so now we're getting some kids that are getting up, you know, because we have it during first and second lunch. So we bring pizza, they come in, and then we'll have a few drawings and a giveaway, which is awesome. And then it's one of the kids, one of the high school kids will get up and give a testimony. So a young man got up today, brought a great word, and then he began to also testify, give his testimony, how he was on an 11-day, and I don't know why 11, but 11-day suicide watch. So they put him like in a hospital, don't allow anything around him where he can hurt himself. And it was just amazing to hear this young man talk about how the gospel, how the Holy Spirit, how the truth had set him free. How he went from being raised without a father and with a mother that was in and out of the home, and seeing how the Lord has ministered to him. Amen. Has brought him out of that to where he's a senior looking forward to what God has for him after high school. So it doesn't matter a person's upbringing. The Holy Spirit, the power of the truth of God, can change any life. And that gives me hope, because I wasn't exactly a perfect parent when I was younger in some areas. And I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit can make up for my deficits, because I've had a lot of deficits. Maybe you haven't, amen, but I've had a lot of deficits. So I'm so grateful that the Holy Spirit makes up for my deficits. Not all at once, amen, but as I continue to trust him, I believe in him to make up for my deficits, because he will restore what the cankerworm and the locust have eaten, and I thank the Lord for that. Hallelujah, amen. Thank you, Father, for that. Continuing on, so what did it say in verse 42? Jesus said to them, so we're jumping down, remember? This is when he starts talking, gets into a totally different subject, as he's laying down truths to the Jews. So in verse 42, he says, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came forth from God and am here. And he says, for I have not even come on my own. You ever wonder, I always wonder, just, you know, he's saying, hey, if you did love God, I mean, if you loved me, then I would know you're from God. I often wonder if there was this conversation and when it happened. I don't know if it was before the earth was ever made. I don't know where God said, hey, I'm going to send you to the earth in a bodily form. Amen. I'm sending you as my son. You're going to be clothed in flesh. You're going to live amongst men. You're going to experience everything to the extreme. He was totally rejected by his own. He was tempted like Satan, like none other than you and I have ever imagined, yet was without sin. Can you imagine? I often wonder if he, when he was born, just thinking of these things as he's growing up. Well, you know, what age did it find? It said he knew that he was the Son of God by the Word of God. He is the Word. So, he said, you search the Scriptures and don't realize that they speak of me. How old was he when he realized, this is talking about me? How old was he when he realized, man, I dwelt in, before Abraham was, I am. It's amazing how he grew up. He didn't know that when he was a one-year-old and he was a two-year-old. As he grew up, amen. And also says, I was reading today that he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He had a decision to make in himself to say, you know what? I may be suffering these things, but I'm believing that I came from God. He's got the world saying, no, you got the Jews saying, no, you did not. He's got Satan saying, no, you did not. Amen. But yet he had to believe what the Word of God and what the Holy Spirit that lived in him was telling him, that you are the one. Just like the Holy Spirit lives in you and I and says to me and you, you are one of mine. You belong to me. Doesn't matter what the enemy says. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Just like Jesus, you and I have to make a decision and say, I know I have come from him. Before I was ever born, he knew who I was. He knew me in my mother's womb. I am from him. Regardless what the world says, regardless what my failures say, amen. Regardless of even what some family members may say, I know I came from him. It's not much different, to be honest, I mean, hear me, than what Jesus experienced. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You and I, filled with the Holy Spirit. Him learning truth through the Word of God. You and I learning truth through the Word of God. Who was our example? Our big brother Jesus. Because it says he was the firstborn among many brethren. Can you say brethren? Yes. Firstborn among many brethren and sisters. So you and I, coming just like that, realizing, wow, Lord Jesus, before I was born, you knew I'd be sitting here in Chino Valley in this church service. He knew before I come into the service that I would have to encourage myself in the Lord. You can come. My point was, is coming from the high school and different things, getting here and feeling kind of depleted. And say, Lord, am I just going to go through a service where I just kind of mumble during the worship songs? Or Lord, am I, knowing that the Holy Spirit lives in me, I'm going to worship you and honor you and pray during worship for those that come upon my heart, lifting up in prayer, thanking God for me being in this service here in Chino Valley, not allowing those things in my flesh to dictate what's going on in my life, making that decision, Lord, I'm going to worship you, I'm going to honor you, I'm going to pray in the Spirit, and then I'm going to get up there and talk about John chapter 8. Thank you, Lord. Are you continuing in his word? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you? Amen. Receiving from him. Amen. Sometimes we get busy. Lord, I just thank you for how precious his Spirit is, isn't it? How precious his Holy Spirit is that lives in us. Did you know I can only understand his word through that Holy Spirit? If I don't have the Holy Spirit illuminating the Word of God, it's just a bunch of words. It's just a bunch of things I can try to follow. But when he illuminates it, amen, by his Holy Spirit, it becomes life to me. It becomes part of me, amen. It strengthens me. It's hard to explain what it does. You know what the Word of God does when you read something that just can leap off the pages, or you claim that for yourself, well, the Holy Spirit encourages you, or you're going through something, you read something, and boom, everything changes right then and there based upon a single truth in the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then that whole week or two that you've been carrying that weight or whatever's been going on, it just comes off. And you say, thank you, Jesus. I wish it would just be that every day, that it wouldn't slowly build up again like a sand. You ever had, You ever seen a sand pile? Right? It's one grain at a time. So sometimes during the week, right, our feet can get dirty. We can start carrying some weights, the dust of this world. And then when we come into a service like this, did you know it's up to you and I whether we leave the same? Did you know that? Because he's always faithful. His Holy Spirit living in us. We learn to encourage ourselves like King David did. Amen. Are you continuing in his word, saint? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you? Amen. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. Anybody here love Jesus? Amen. For I came forth from God and am here. For I have not even come on my own. He said, I didn't come on my own. My father sent me. But he sent me. Amen. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot listen to my word. Aren't you glad you can hear his word? Aren't you glad you can hear his voice? Man, during this time, I'll sit here and think of this because I try to put myself there. Very, very tough situation here. We can see Jesus was, you know, he went from I have a lot of people believing in him that the next paragraph, the church is empty, so to speak. It's because you cannot listen to my word. Let's continue. Verse 44 says, You are of your father the devil. Wow. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning. Man, can you imagine, put yourself there in that crowd. We're talking about people who had put their faith in him. You heard what I said in 31. This is still that same conversation. And he said these things, verse 30 again. As he said these things, many came to believe in him. So this is the same crew. And he says, if you continue in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So what did he do? He tried to continue in his word. He tried to continue, and that's what they said. Nope, we don't have any place in our hearts for the truth at this time. Amen. Verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I say the truth, hear what Jesus is saying right now. He says, but because I say the truth, you do not believe me. Wow, I don't want anything to do with that. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? The one who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God. What he was saying is realizing it's that you're saying you're children of Israel, but what he was saying is there's a new covenant coming. Jew and Greek alike are under the power and the bondage of sin. The old covenant is going to be done away with. The only way those are going to be right with God come from the kingdom of darkness and to the kingdom of light is understanding that I'm going to be given my life as a sacrifice. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to raise from the dead. And those who put their trust in me, amen, will be born again, will receive the Holy Spirit, and will be what? Be children of God. So we have those two worlds, Jesus and Satan. Did you know even Jesus is considered a father? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it's a little bit further down. John, I'm going to go back up. So Jesus, Father, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 is a little further down. I'm just going to read that real quick, John. It says, for a child, Isaiah 9, 6, for a child will be born to us. This is a prophetic word from Isaiah regarding the Christ, right? For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. So Jesus and the Father are one. So Jesus, as it says in the scripture, is a father as well. Amen. We got God the Father, God the Son, but indeed, because he is one with the Father, he is part of us. He said, I am in my Father, and the Father is in me, he says. And so in that way, he is an eternal Father. Amen. He is the Father of salvation. He is from the beginning to the end, right? The first and the last. So we have here that Jesus is a father. Satan is what? He's the father of all lies. Really, there's two fathers in this world. That's why it's called family church, because you've heard me say this. There's army aspects to the body of Christ, but we're really not an army. We are a family, the family of God. You've heard me say it before. We're not generals and corporals and lieutenants. It's brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus is a father. Satan is a father of all lies. Jesus is a savior. Satan is a murderer, isn't he? He's a murderer. So let's see, spirit of truth. I'm not going to go to that real quick, John. How about godly desires? Because he is our savior, he gives us godly desires. What did he say, what we just read? He says, you want to do what your father, Satan, you want to do his will. But when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you have a Holy Spirit that lives in you. It changes your desires. Is it overnight always? Amen. Can it be a struggle sometimes to realize that your heart really desires the things of God when you might be struggling with your flesh? Amen. So he's the Savior. So he gives us godly desires. Satan has a worldly demonic desires. And let me just go to Galatians chapter 5. Let me just read these things. You guys know this, so. We got godly desires, satanic desires. Galatians chapter 5, down below, 5:18, it says, deeds of the flesh. It says, verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Amen. But it says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident. So what is Satan like? What does he like to produce? What does he like to push? What does he like to exploit in people's lives? Well, first thing here, which we know probably the very first thing here on this list, is sexual immorality. Does Satan try to push sexual immorality in our society? Oh, yeah. Just watch TV every once in a while. Just turn it on. Sexual immorality. How about impurity? Indecent behavior. Idolatry. Worshiping. Having your affections on anything but Jesus Christ. Witchcraft. Hostilities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. So we were talking about the desires of the spirit and desires of the flesh. So that's an example of the desires of the world, the desires of the flesh, the things that Satan likes to push. You know, it's interesting. I listened to a podcast some years ago, and I just listened to one episode. So, but it was on satanic worshiping Satan. Why did I listen? I just wanted to hear what they had to say. And the thing I noticed right away about this is they weren't like pushing Satan worship. It was definitely a satanic cult. That's what it was called. But their whole point when I was listening to this podcast is, hey, what's wrong with just following the desires of the flesh? You were born that way. You've got goody two-shoes and different people saying that you're not supposed to do that. Well, the whole thing with this podcast and satanic worship is, hey, what's wrong with following the desires of the flesh? And isn't that what's this, when you think about what the list we just read, sexual immorality, impurity, indecent behavior, witchcraft, hostility, strife, jealousy, those things that come from the earth. People that are born, when we're born, under the control of Satan. Those are things that come forth, amen? But when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you give your spirit, what does it say? That by the Spirit of God, you crucify the deeds of the flesh. You can't do it on your own strength. You can't do it on your own ability. But the Word of God says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? How shall that we that are dead continue therein? So by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God comes alive in you, and through the power of God, the deeds of the flesh, this flesh doesn't have control over you anymore. What you're saying, I don't serve you no more. That's of the world. That's of Satan. But because I've been born again, I have a new heart and a new spirit, and I'm renewing my mind as I grow in him. I'm saying, you know what? I don't have to follow those things. You're dead. Go lie down. And you may have some struggles, different things, but you have to make a decision, saying, Lord, I am going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, as it says in Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to mortify, as also says in that same chapter, and kill the deeds of the flesh, meaning I no longer have to live as a slave to sin. Because I'm born again, I am now a slave of righteousness. Amen and amen. And I don't exactly know how it works, because I still fail sometimes. Anybody else here? And say, wait a second. But I don't give up. Amen. I realize that he's my righteousness. I get up and say, Lord, thank you. I continue to pursue you. I am victorious in you, even in my failings, knowing this thing will be mortified in my life because I am pursuing you until that thing is dead. I don't make an excuse for it and say, oh, that's just the way it is, where I'm human. No, I want that thing dead because it's trying to destroy me, and I'm not going to be tricked into thinking that I can play with it. It's got to be mortified as I follow him, because it darn well wants to destroy me if I give it life. But I'm dead to sin and alive to him. Not perfectly. But those old things, they don't bring joy. They don't bring strength. They don't bring honor to God. If I'm not careful and I lie to myself, they'll destroy my life. It'll destroy my life. How many people have we seen, leaders in denominations or ministries, through pride or thinking they can play games? How many have we seen them? I'm not saying they're not born again, but how many have we seen have their ministries destroyed because they refuse to mortify or kill the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit of God? And as soon as you hear some of these people, I've come to realize, as soon as you hear some of these, I don't care who they are, get up and start railing against certain sins, just railing and hammering it, it seems like it's the very thing that they struggle with. Case in point being Jimmy Swaggart. I only say that because I was a swag follower. I mean, I've been in Louisiana, been in the front row of his church. I'm not kidding, front row. 2.5 hours early, I'm getting a front row seat. So that's how much I appreciated Jimmy Swaggart. But I seen him rail against certain things and ended up being the thing that brought him down. Amen. Mortifying those things. But here's the fruit of the Spirit. Here's the good news. Amen. We want to leave on good news. But the fruit of the Spirit, the character of God. Amen. With the Holy Spirit, as we trust him, it's fruit. As we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Amen. As we don't give up. As we realize and say, Lord, I want these more and more evident in my life. I'm 57, how long do I allow the God to bring forth fruit in my life and allow him to cultivate it? I'm thinking it's now for a lifetime. I've been waiting to arrive for 57 years now. If there's a certain age where I can arrive, you come and let me know after the service so I have something to look forward to. Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, we end with this, amen, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Thank you, Jesus. Love holds no record of wrong. Did you know that? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Lord, I pray that your love would have a more of an impact on my soul realm and my mind day by day. Lord, let that just envelop me. Lord, your word says that your love has been shed abroad in my heart. Lord, I want that to be evident. I want to know how high, how deep, how wide, how the breadth of your love. Lord, I want to understand that you aren't an element of you is not love. It says that you are love. Father, that's who you are. Father, may envelop my heart and my soul. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy, peace, patience. Anybody ever here need patience? Kindness. How about kindness? My goodness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Hallelujah. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. Against such things there is no law. And here's the thing. Here's the kicker. Here's verse 24. Now those who belong to Christ. How many here belong to Christ? Now those who belong to Christ Jesus crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I wish that could happen over a weekend. I'd start today. I'm finding out that I give it to him. Crucifying me, it's through the Holy Spirit. It's saying, no, Lord, I'm not going to allow myself to walk in untruths. I'm not going to allow myself to be resentful. Lord, I'm not going to allow myself to be offended. I'm not going to allow these things that tried to bring me into the works of the flesh. Lord, I thank you. I'm protecting my heart and say, Lord, continue by your Holy Spirit and the truth. Continue to bring forth the fruit. He brings forth the fruit. Your flesh and your own strength cannot bring forth fruit. It can bring forth self-righteousness that stinks to high heaven. It can bring forth legalism where you're comparing yourself to other people saying, why can't you do it? I can. But when we guard our hearts and say, Lord, thank you, those things are going to die, and we allow the Holy Spirit to nurture those things, bring forth those fruits, they grow. And guess what? Guess who gets to share in those things? The people we know. Our closest friends, relatives, wives, husbands, people in the church. They're the ones who get to partake of that fruit of our kindness and love. And goodness. Father, we pray that that would be more evident in your people. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, thank you for showing us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, crucifying the deeds of the flesh, for those areas in our lives, Lord, where you're speaking to us that are like weights hanging on to us. Lord, show us, Lord, how to crucify those things through your Holy Spirit, being dead to sin and alive to you. We thank you for that. We love you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen.